My name is Buck Moorhead. I'm an architect here in the city. I also started, 6 or 7 years ago with the anti-fracking movement. I got very involved in the Upper Delaware, where it was like there will be blood. You know, people were leasing property up there. This was in about 7 years or so ago. So I got involved. I have worked with Damascus Citizens. My wife and I, Mav here in the audience, we were involved as co-founders for NYH2O, which was one of the first in New York City fully anti-fracking assistance group, fully based on anti-fracking. And the thing with being a anti-anything, and I've never been an activist before, and I actually don't still think I'm an activist, but is that it's hard to be anti without having a solution, without being able to, you know, go and say, okay, so that's a problem. How do you propose solving it? So what I got involved with as an architect was this idea of passive house. And to Bryce's point, you know, there are, you know, lots of things that have to happen on many, many levels. And, you know, alternative energy solutions are one of the ideas. You know, solar, wind, geothermal. But one of the most important alternative energy solutions or systems is actually energy conservation. And what happened in 1990 was that there was a German physicist named Wolfgang Feist, and he took what we were doing in North America in the 1970s. We were doing some really excellent energy conserving strategies in the 70s. He took that and developed this protocol called Passive House. It's a Passive House Institute out of Germany. And he basically looked at it as a building scientist would look at it. And he developed this computer program which allows one to model buildings and have predictable outcomes around what their energy use is going to be. Five concepts are involved. It's continuous insulation around the building, very thick blanket of insulation, very tight air barrier. The building is tested with a blower door, and they go to they test at 0.6 air changes per hour at 50 Pascal. If we build a good tight building here in this country right now, it has 3 or 4 or 5 air changes an hour. So they're building buildings that are 8 or 10 times tighter than what we're typically doing. But then they also put in heat recovery ventilator systems. So there's fresh air that's continuously pulled through the building, and it goes through a heat exchange. So they get up to 80% of the energy that's being exhausted out is transferred to the air coming in. So you get fresh air that's filtered. The houses and buildings, and passive house is an unfortunate name, but they're very healthy, durable buildings. They control moisture. The air quality is good. They also have excellent windows, and they have are basically thermal bridge free. We build buildings that have enormous pathways for energy to go through the building. And these can be, I'm telling you, all kinds of LEED buildings have these thermal bridges. You know, we just don't consciously look at that in this country. You know, all the concrete slabs that go out for balconies, like tremendous thermal bridge. So they're very simple. It's smart design. There's nothing fancy about doing it. It's predictable. It takes good quality construction. It's like 5 to 10% more to do these buildings in this country. There in Europe, they're building them for the same cost as regular construction. They just know how to do it. And so there have been like 30,000 buildings that since 1990, this guy Wolfgang Feist, they're data monitoring these buildings. It's completely achievable now. And the reason this is important is that, tying back to Bryce's comments, was that in our country, 40% of the energy nationally is used in buildings. 40% nationally. In New York City, it's 75% of the energy that we use in New York City is within our buildings. And that's because we don't have the same energy in transportation that you would when you're outside of New York City. So the passive houses reduce the energy for heating and cooling by 80 to 90% less energy is used for heating and cooling in a passive house than typically. Now, in a building, probably half of the energy is in heating and cooling, and half of it is in like plug loads, like what you're plugging in. But that, if you can reduce like half of the building's energy by 80 to 90%, you're making a serious dent in what our needs are from pure energy conservation. And then you look to solar, to wind, to geothermal, whatever you need to pick up your last piece of energy that you need. So this is so achievable, and by 2020, the European Union is actually mandated that new buildings are all going to be to near zero or net zero energy use, and if you can't, whatever energy you need to generate on your own site. So that's 6 years from now. This is like not something that's pie in the sky. They're just doing this, and it's a global movement. There's a New York. I'm on the board of directors for New York Passive House. There is a North American Passive House Network now. There are regional groups in California, the Northwest. We're going to a conference tomorrow night up in Maine, which is for the North American Passive House Network. It's really fantastic. So that's kind of my prelude. I've got a bunch of slides. I'm just going to run through like really quickly because I want to make sure we have time for Samara to speak and also time for your questions. So I'm just going to click through some quick things, but I just wanted to give you that overview there. Let's see.
Excuse me, are any of these, are these all new, or is there a way of retrofitting?
Oh, good question. You can, we're not supposed to take questions. Yes, you can retrofit, but we can talk about that further. Yes, you can absolutely retrofit.
So, Yeah,
they're gonna be some. So this is showing the passive house principles that I was talking about. These are just going to be some construction photos. You can do prefab units, prefab walls. That is showing like thermal imaging of what kind of leaks you're getting through a building. That's the idea of thermal bridging. You know, you can see the trusses that image on the lower right. That's the stud wall construction. That's all energy that's being lost through the building. This is the red line and these construction photos. This shows that air barrier, which is very consciously developed. These are the ERVs. These units, in Europe, they build buildings which basically don't have heating systems. This is the HRV. It's a compact system, all those tubes or vents going around the house. This is simple compact structure. It obviously integrates some solar thermal and PV on the roof there. This is a project, the red one is a very famous newer house up in Maine that was won all kinds of awards. This is actually a house we've designed for Habitat for Humanity up in upstate New York.
And you cannot have natural gas in these houses?
Pardon me? You know, we wouldn't do one, no. This I can click through these. These are plans for that house, that Habitat for Humanity house. This shows like how the insulation. This is kind of a sequence of how the building is constructed. That red is the air barrier, so you're always conscious of where that air barrier is. This is some work we've done looking at a retrofitting a multifamily on the Upper West Side. It's a 10-unit building, so we're showing proposed work that could happen in stages to retrofit this building. Again, I'm just flipping through these again because I want to make sure we have time for.
Is that super expensive?
So this is a retrofit on Long Island, showing the construction there. And these are, the passive house name is unfortunate because it's used for buildings which are not houses. And again, in Europe, they're doing schools, they're doing firehouses, large buildings, 354-unit building here. They're doing entire regions or communities that are all passive house. Germany, well, it was Darmstadt, Germany. Wolfgang Feist it initiated in Germany, but Austria is a huge adopter. Belgium, it's all through Europe now. And China, they're planning skyscrapers in China that are passive house skyscrapers. It's a global kind of cult movement. I mean, there are a bunch of projects in Brooklyn that are underway. This is happening like right now. There's a woman in who's a New York City architect. She's planning a 40-unit market-rate project that's a rental building that's going to be on the west side of Manhattan. And it's to the point about gas for heat. They're looking at putting electric heat for the heating system because the heat level is so low that they don't need to have a gas-fired boiler. You know, because it's basically you're providing heat for your worst-case scenario, but often, you know, throughout much of the year, you need no heat. So this is, again, just flipping quickly through here. I think I'll just leave it there and leave some time for Samara to talk and...